Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax-deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano, a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're listening to The Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome back. So, I was negatively inspired last night to create a wild boar stew. Why? I get these regular email updates from the New York State Department of Environmental Control, who in the past I've spoken very highly about, but the headline on the email was, "Proposed regulations would prohibit hunting or trapping of wild boars in New York." And I read through the rest of it, and I was very disturbed, and we're going to get into that. But I got up, and I said, wait a second, I got wild boar frozen in my outside freezer in the garage. So I ran out to the garage. I broke it out. I did the microwave defrost thing. I had a nice couple of pounds of nice stew meat. I had about 2 pounds of nice pork stew meat. And my buddy, if you don't remember, had been on a hunt last year, and he killed 3 wild pigs. And he gave me one of them, so I'm stocked up with this wild pork. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to make some pork stew tonight. So, and then I thought to myself, well, self, you're doing a radio show tomorrow about wild game. Why don't you document this and actually take some notes for once in your life? And that's what I did. And I got to tell you, I nailed this stew. So I want to give you the recipe first, and then we'll get into the show and talk to you about what inspired this stew. So, to make this, I served, it's probably looking at it about 8 servings, depending, 6 servings, 6 to 8 servings. You're going to need 2 pounds of pork. And you could buy, some really good artisan pork, or if you're lucky enough to have wild boar in the freezer or going on a boar hunt, you could go ahead and use that. You could also mix in venison here if you have venison laying around. So you're going to want to use 2 pounds of some kind of meat. 1 pound of chestnuts. My wife is crazy about chestnuts. She came across this deal actually at like a Trader Joe's or something she was at, and they were giving away these chestnuts, piles of them. So she brought home like 4 pounds of chestnuts. So I decided, hey, they go nice in a stew. So you want to shell them and peel the chestnuts. Use some fingerling potatoes, about 1 pound or so of fingerling potatoes. 1/2 pound of mushrooms, whatever you like, assorted mushrooms. I used 1 whole onion. I had a Spanish onion. I just used that. It was nice. You're going to want to use some bacon, about 1/4 pound. What was my notes? 1/4 pound of, I used pancetta, but any kind of bacon would work here. You want to use something a little more smoky, or, apple smoked bacon or something like that would go really nice here. Couple of bay leaves, 3 or 4 bay leaves. I used about 1/2 cup of Marsala wine. I used 1 quart of, I used chicken stock. If you had pork or vegetable stock, it would probably be a little nicer here. But I had chicken stock, so I used a little chicken stock. 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 2 tablespoons of honey, which was, I threw that in, and then some green onions, and I used the juice of a lemon at the end. I'll explain that. So first thing you want to do is in a big Dutch oven, a nice pot. I have this big, what is it called? What is that? Dutch oven, I guess it's called. And you want to put some olive oil in there, some nice fruity olive oil. You want to get that nice and hot, and then start cooking your bacon. So what I did was I kind of had this solid piece of pancetta. I sliced it thin and then kind of chopped it up. I just rough chopped it. I was thinking wild game stew, you know. So I just kind of rough chopped it in the oil, cooked that down a little bit. Don't use too much oil, you know, in the beginning, especially if you're using like a regular bacon. There's going to be a lot of fat. The pancetta tends to be a little bit leaner. It doesn't bleed out as much of the fat. So just, you know, adjust there. But you want to cook that bacon nice, get it nice and crispy, and then remove it from the pot. Get the heat back up to medium high, and then throw your pork in. So I brown the pork right in all that olive oil and bacon fat. Brown it up, brown it well on all sides. Don't do too much. You know what I see people do? They add 2 pounds at a time. You know, do half pound batches of it. Do 3 or 4, you know, batches of the pork so it keeps the pot hot. The pot stays hot. You get a nice brown, and you want a nice caramelization on that. It's going to lend flavor to the bottom of the pot, and it's also going to give a nice texture to your meat, obviously. So you're going to brown that on all sides. Once they're nice and brown, remove all the meat. Now you could start the onion. Throw the onion in. Start cooking all the onion. Cook it right through. And you want to go nice medium heat and kind of brown the onion. Caramelize the onions a little bit. Add back the pork. Again, pork, venison, whatever kind of game meat you're using. Then work in the mushrooms, the thyme, the bay leaves, a little salt, a little pepper. At that point, I add the Marsala wine. And you're going to bring this to a nice rolling boil at this point, because what we want to do is reduce down the wine. We want to cook down the wine. What did I put in my notes? Hold on. Cook it down about halfway. So you're going to reduce that wine by half. At that point, I worked in the chicken stock, and then you're going to cover everything up, and you're going to let it simmer. Let it simmer for about 45 minutes. Up to an hour. I think I let it go complete. The whole cooking process at that point was about an hour and a half. But, you know, 45 minutes would probably do it. And you could go as far, you know, up to 2 hours. we're just trying to make that meat, you know, and all that liquid nice and tender. At that point, I worked in my potatoes. You got these fingerlings. You don't even have to cut them up or anything. Just drop them in there. Let that simmer for about 30 minutes. Chestnuts are all prepped, ready to go. They're shelled. And I just kind of quartered them a little bit, threw them in, and that's about, you know, another 20-30 minutes. Salt and pepper, make sure everything's done. I served this. Oh, add back the bacon. Don't forget your bacon at the end. You're going to add back the bacon. And then you're going to want to serve this. I served it, you know, where we were like, my cabinets were decimated. I had some rice, so I made some rice, and I just served it with white rice. My family loved it. But, you know, some noodles, some kind of pasta would be good with this stew. Excellent, excellent wild boar stew. Very easy. So, you know, the point is here, what inspired me to, on a Monday night, break out the wild boar and make a stew? Well, you know, like I said in the beginning of the show, the DEC inspired me. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you know I have nothing but good things to say about the New York Department of Environmental Control. For the most part, in their relationship with hunters, the regulations on hunters, and their control of the wild game in this country, in this state. Nothing but good things. All my dealings with them have been nothing but positive. The officers who are out in the field enforcing the law are professionals. They're guys you could talk to. You could question them about regulations. So, you know, I have much support for these guys. So I don't think this is directed at the soldiers, the DEC soldiers out there trying to enforce the law. This comes down, this directive, I guess it's going to be, or this change to law is going to be from the higher-ups in the DEC, a guy named Joe Martin. Joe Martins. He's the commissioner of the New York State DEC, and he announced, this was yesterday, he announced the proposal of a new regulation that would prohibit hunting. So, if you know, once I see prohibit hunting, my I get goosebumps. I you know, my hair on the back of my neck stands up. So this proposal for new regulations that would prohibit hunting or trapping of free-ranging wild boars in New York. The proposal is designed to ensure maximum effectiveness of DEC's statewide eradication efforts. Public comments on the proposed regulations will be accepted until January 25th. So, first of all, you look anywhere in this country, look anywhere in the world where hunting is specifically regulated or heavily regulated or where it's not allowed. And what you will see is problems with the wild game populations in those areas. They're either overpopulated, underpopulated, disease-ridden. There is some kind of problem. There is no positive examples of where wild game is not hunted and they're just doing fine and dandy, living their lives. So, you know, this whole problem in New York State comes from, what effectively is a European boar, wild boar, that we think got here. I mean, which is a big problem down south, Georgia, Florida, Texas, big problems. These invasive animals are basically overrunning the landscape down south. And guess what? Over the years now, and I've been hearing about these boars for 10 years now. Oh, they're coming north. They're in North Carolina. They're in Virginia. They're in Pennsylvania. Well, here we are. They're in New York now. They're in Western New York. Most of the reports are coming out of, I guess you would call it Western to Southwest New York, you know, on the Pennsylvania border. Delaware County, where I hunt, is on the list. Tioga County, even further south, Sullivan County, New York, is reporting these evasive European boars. And so, you know, how'd they get here? Well, they originally escaped from farms or hunting establishments, you know, fenced hunting establishments down south. Even in Pennsylvania, they have that. You pay $1,000, you could go inside the fence and shoot boars all you want. So these wild boars escape from their pens and they mate and they repopulate and they're very resilient animals and they take over the landscape. So what makes them a real big problem is, first of all, they're highly adaptable. They're an amazing animal. They're very destructive. Aside from being non-native, you know, we all know the problems of non-native species being in our areas, but these are very invasive species. So they escape. They blend into the landscape where they're not normally, normally found. And what are some of the things these boars do? Who cares? There's some pigs running around in the woods, right? Well, first of all, they eat the hard mast. And to a hunter, if you're a hunter out there, you know what that means. That's the acorns, nuts, things that the deer eat, the bear, the turkey, the squirrel, the indigenous animals of New York State rely on this hard mast for their protein. Even the waterfowl, you know, ducks will eat this. Think acorns. You know, that's the main protein source for these animals, the indigenous New York animal. These boars will consume nests, eggs of ground nesting birds and reptiles. That's a bad thing. They go as far as these boars will eat and kill fawns, newly birthed deer fawns. They'll also attack domestic livestock in farming areas. They will eat almost any agricultural crop, as well as tree seeds, seedlings, the rooting of these trees. They wallow. Their wallowing habits destroy crops, native vegetation, causes erosion that negatively affects water quality if it's by a stream or a river. I've read an interesting thing, and I'm trying to remember what the numbers were. Hold on. It was each boar is estimated, and this comes from Europe, but why would it be any different here, is estimated to destroy 11 acres of property in its lifetime, each boar itself. So, you know, do the math. You have a couple hundred boars. You're going to eventually destroy thousands of acres of property. So That's why it's got to be stopped. And we're going to tie this in after the break. I'm going to take a short break now. But after the break, I want to tie it in, and I want to kind of justify why I think DEC is making a mistake by prohibiting the hunting of these animals. So let's take that break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You are listening to Never in Love by Four Lincolns on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from the Wild Game Domain. Shining down like a miracle. You look like Apollo, like someone I could follow. Into battle over my heart. There's hope between us. I just cannot believe this. Someone else feels as I do. And he comes again.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And we're talking about the feral pig, or the wild pig problem here in New York, and how the DEC, the New York State Department of Environmental Control, is about to make that problem worse. So we're just discussing the invasiveness of this animal. It can't exist here. It shouldn't be here. It's going to throw off the natural balance of our ecology, especially for the indigenous wildlife of New York State. So how do we usually pursue that problem, or how do we usually control that problem? Well, it's done through hunters. You're welcome. That's what we do. And we enjoy hunting. It's no problem for me to go out on a wild boar hunt. And in full disclosure, I haven't read the whole proposal. I'm going to do that later today so we can get back to you. So, you know, they were kind of vague, prohibit the hunting of this animal. And that could mean a lot. It doesn't mean they're going to totally eliminate it. Let's be done with it. It just means they're going to prohibit it. But as I read through the I guess you would call it the news brief or whatever they put out, there was some disturbing little comments in there that basically go back to my idea that government can't do anything better than the private citizen. It's just, as a libertarian, leave me alone, let me live my life, and I will take care of most problems that exist, keep my family fed, pay my bills, and live my life. So I think they're overreaching, and some of the highlights of their release was, there are small numbers of Eurasian boars on the landscape in New York. Since 2000, wild boars have been reported in many counties across the state, and breeding in the wild has been confirmed in at least six counties, and those counties are Tioga, Cortland, Onondaga, Clinton, Sullivan, and Delaware, which directly affect me because that's exactly where I hunt. And to this day, I've never seen a wild pig on any of my properties in recent years. So the DEC is working closely with the Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services, and they have a program to remove all the boars that are reported in New York. And to date, more than 150 animals have been captured and destroyed. And that sounds like a pretty big number. And notice they don't give you the actual estimations on how many pigs they think are running around New York, but they caught 150. Any wild game, that is a minuscule number of animals. Any game. So if these pigs are really getting a foothold in New York and they're that concerned about it, this idea that they've captured 150 of them is an actual joke. I mean, the hunters out in the field could take down 150 in a weekend if we opened the season on these wild boars, if they're out there. If they're trapping 150, I know the hunters could probably take down in 2 weeks more than that. And then it says, eradication is expensive, time-consuming, and requires a great deal of manpower. Well, guess what, DC? You have the manpower. The hunters are already out there. I hunt from October 1st to at least the end of February. I'm out in the field. I'm bow hunting. I'm rifle hunting. I am coyote hunting at the end of rifle season. I have my muzzleloader out in January, in the end of December. Why you would take that away, why you would take this help away is beyond me. And the only thing I could find was that the DC is probably under the misconception or believes in the misconception that when you shoot a boar, generally they run in their groups. What is that called? Think chat. I should have wrote this down. I do a radio show. I should have these notes. A sounder, I think it's called. A group of pigs. So they run in these groups. So the idea is, well, how many can a hunter kill? Well, because of our governor, we're not allowed to have more than three rounds in our rifles or whatever we're allowed to have when we're hunting, right? We're not allowed to have high-capacity magazines, right? So we could, if the government would get off our back, kill a lot more of these pigs. But let's assume you shoot one pig, the pig goes down, the other 20 scatter about your property, right? They're implying that this is a negative thing. Because you've broken up this group of pigs, okay, by a gunshot, by killing one of presumably the most mature, the biggest pig, what else would a hunter do? If I had 20 pigs in front of me, I'm not going to pick a baby pig. I want to eat the big fat one, right? So I shoot the big leader of the group. This scatters the rest of the pigs, and now they're broken up. This idea that they will not come back together is ridiculous. And so I was looking into some feral pig research or how the European pig functions, and it functions in this group. It lives in this group. It's going to come back together. And if it doesn't, if that gunshot scares it out of its group, again, it's only good for the landscape. It's only good for us because it's going to shorten the life of the pigs. The pigs have strength in numbers. So just by shooting one of them, dispersing their group about your property or in the landscape is going to help diminish the numbers of pigs. Apparently, the DEC's plan is to go out and set traps. Well, here's the thing. I lease property, so no one's contacted me and said, hey, can we put some boar traps on your property? So I got to imagine they're only doing this on a limited basis on state lands or on county lands or, you know, parks, things like that. I doubt they're going around getting permission from private landowners to put traps on unless they get a report of a pig from those landowners. But here's the thing. Most landowners own, you know, upstate, the guy I lease from owns hundreds of acres. He doesn't walk the property. The hunter walks the property. So if they called the landowner that I lease from and say, hey, do you got pigs? He's going to say, I don't think so. I haven't seen any pigs. There's no pigs by my house. Maybe he sees visibly a two-acre area around this house. The other, you know, 150 acres my guy owns is only seen by me. I'm the one that could help him, you know, first of all, plant these traps if they want to do it, which I'm not against. Go ahead and do it. But at the same time, allow the hunters all year to go out and hunt these animals and take care of them. You know, this all boils down to at least my belief as a libertarian that I am capable, the private citizen, hunting clubs, the hunter of New York State is better equipped, more involved, and can be a huge help in the eradication of these animals. And you know what? Let's be honest. The New York State could actually make money off of it if they were smart. Listen, we're going to open feral pig like they've been doing all year. It's an invasive animal. You can hunt it at any time, day or night, use lights, do whatever you want. But there's a $5 charge. You gotta buy a tag. It's an unlimited pig tag. They would make millions of dollars off the deal, and hunters would be overjoyed, first of all, to harvest that meat, eat that delicious wild pork, and get this animal off of the landscape completely and work it out of work it off of our landscape. And that's my main problem with this. So, you know, the thing is here, we still have time to comment on this. Where is it? Text of the proposed regulation was published in New York State Register on December 11th. The full text of the proposed regulation change and instructions for submitting comments can be found on the DEC's websites. Comments on the proposed regulations can be sent by email to wildlifereg@gw.dec.state.newyork.us. Wow, a lot of dots. Go to the DEC website, find the link, click on it, read the proposal. I told you, I found the proposal. I read the first couple of paragraphs. Haven't gotten through the whole thing yet. I'm going to read it before I comment completely back to them. But this is one of the first times, at least in my memory, that the DEC is making a real, real big mistake. This is not going to solve the problem. If anything, what we're going to see in a few years is, wow, we're overrun by these pigs. We are now Georgia. And, you know, the thing is, if you think it's not real, look at the diminishing numbers of whitetails killed during the hunting season in any of the southern states. You look in Georgia, Alabama, even Florida, you know, Alabama as an example, one of the, you know, a proud tradition of deer hunting, hundreds of years down there. You know, they shoot those little southern skip-alongs, not the biggest deers, those swamp donkeys, as we call them, if they could find them, those big swamp bucks that hide out. But they have a proud tradition of hunting, and if you look at the numbers, they've only expanded. And down south, they hunt for longer periods of time. I don't know exactly how their seasons run, but they have more days afield to hunt these whitetails. The numbers are diminishing. The kill numbers are diminishing. The amount of deer that they actually harvest yearly has been dropping. And you could say, well, and you know, I get it. There's a couple of different reasons for that. One reason is, first of all, deer are getting smart. I got to do a show on that, how deer are adapting to the techniques of hunters. Deer, as an example, real quick, deer have no natural or never had a natural predator that flew, that was up in the trees, right? Up north, there's nothing for them to fear in trees. But guess what? Through a couple of hundred years of tree stand hunting, deer are starting to evolve and realize we have danger up in the tree. So you see more and more, the scientists are studying this, deer looking up in trees saying, wait, I saw my buddy, something happened to him, and it came from the trees. So the deer are adapting to modern techniques of hunting. That's going to affect, obviously, the wildlife kill. But the main thing is these pigs are just running the deer numbers down by using the land that the deer would normally, the mast crop, the natural foliage that the deer would normally consume is all being decimated by the wild boar population. So the deer are A, dying or moving on from that area. And this is affecting the amount of wildlife killed. Now, some people would say, well, who gives a crap? It's the natural order of things. If the pigs move in and take off, it's evolution, and that's what happened. No, these pigs were not supposed to be here. Modern technology, boats, airplanes, modern farming brought these animals here. So now it's our responsibility as hunters to control those numbers. Through the mistakes of others, we can correct this. And we could do it instead of doing what the South did and wait. They waited. They didn't realize the scope of their problem until it was really a little too late at this point. So you watch any hunting show, put on the Outdoor Channel and watch a hunting show. If they're hunting down south, you know, it's always, all right, I'm up here. I have a game camera. I saw a giant buck walk by here the other day. I'm going to be hunting this giant buck today. And then, you know, a half hour later, they're like, all right, here comes the pigs. We got to kill some of these pigs. So they always kill three or four pigs. The pigs go away, and then the deer comes in and they kill the deer. That's how any southern hunting show goes now, and it shows the scope of the problem. You look at shows, as I was watching this crazy show, Ted Nugent, the other day. They were up in a helicopter using assault rifles. Oh, I used that word. That's not a good word. They were using semi-automatic rifles to shoot these pigs. I mean, literally hundreds of them being flushed from the woods out into fields with helicopters flying over with semi-automatic weapons, just shooting them, you know, mowing them down, trying to control the numbers on this privately owned property. The South has already tried all this, and they got too late of a start. It's not too late for New York State to jump into the game nice and early and say, hunters, kill these feral pigs on site. When you see them, you shoot them and take them out of the ecosystem. It's the only way to go. So, just in closing, use my pork stew recipe. Let's promote pork because we want to kill these things. Go to the DEC website, check out the proposal, form an opinion of your own, especially if you're a hunter, and voice that opinion to the DEC. We got to try to sway them in their decision making here. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. And I would like to thank the guys for producing and engineering today's show. They always do a great job. You can find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from The Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. We air live every Tuesday. I think we're taking the next two Tuesdays off. But join us back. And you can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you and have a great holiday season, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.